Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. And I'm your hostess for the evening. I'm Phyllis Pricer. Tonight we do not have a guest. Every once in a while I like to just take time out and talk with my listeners and have people call in or just, you know, provide information, do readings, do past lives, anything of that nature that you would like. You're certainly welcome to call in and chat. I would love to have that happen. And if you want to do so, feel free to call in at any time. I enjoy this very, very much, the interchange between me and the listeners. So, it's, you know, it's very, very interesting what's been going on lately as far as energy is concerned. I think that we should all be very aware of the information that's coming. I understand that now at this period of time we have Mercury in retrograde. And my question to my dear friends who are astrologers are, when is Mercury never not in retrograde? I don't understand that. I can't, whenever I want to do something, somebody says, oh, well, Mercury's in retrograde. And I swear to you, I cannot find out, figure out when it isn't. So that's my own peculiarity as far as communications are concerned. A lot of information has been coming about the upgrade and stepping up of wonderful energy that is moving through our universe. However, it still leaves many of us groping with trying to get our lives in order. Many of us trying to figure out, well, when are things going to become easier for us? I ask the same thing too, because sometimes it just seems as though we're just shoveling sand trying to get in the same place that we got so far, got before. And it's very, very, very frustrating, at least to me, not to be able to see things change more quickly. And I'm sure that's true with everyone else. I have to say, however, that just in the past couple of days that I have felt things shift, and I am hoping that that is true for many people. It has been a very, very long time that things have been hanging fire. And the subject matters that I wanted to go through, the new programs that I wanted to implement, all of these seem to be maybe finally moving into a phase where we can really manifest what we have. I have been blessed by having some books sent to me. And, you know, I'd be glad to give you some of the names. It talks about how to manifest your heart's desire. One of them is written by the sister of a dear friend of mine. Her name on the book is Kathy McKenzie. And her brother, Bob, is a dear friend of mine, and she wrote a little book called If You Want to Manifest in Your Life, These Are the Simple Steps That You Do. And it's a sweet little book. It's not very long, which is wonderful for those of you who like things to be brief and to the point. And she does go through these little steps telling you a little bit about her history and background, and I know her personally, so I can say that is true. But the manifesting of what she likes and wants to have in her life has been achieved. And she continues to use these little steps to increase the manifestation of happiness in her life. I've looked at the the Abraham books, and I've read them, and, you know, also there are those people who swear by them, and that's wonderful. There are so many on the market today that you can read, and essentially, they all say the same thing, including the little movie, The Secret. All of them are saying it's a matter of visualizing, holding in your mind's eye what you want to achieve, to gain, and not to let any other thoughts intrude. That every time you start getting negative thoughts or rationalizations or what have you, to to throw them out. And I know, being a very left-brain creature in some ways myself, that it is very hard to go through those steps. And in one sense, it's a really easy thing to do. But when you're really involved, when things are really down and hurting, and you're hurting, it's really hard to hang on to the manifestation and to keep your eye on the prize, so to speak. And honestly, I can understand, as I said, very, very deeply and empathize with people on that. I can only say that, quite frankly, it's true. And I do know this also, something that has always been very true with me, and that is when it is darkest, when you feel you simply cannot go a further step, that is when things begin to open up for you. The poets have said very, very beautifully, it's darkest, always darkest before dawn. When things get so very dark for you, and you feel you can't go another step, understand to persevere just a little bit more will carry you through to the other side. And that I would love you to keep in mind when you are in your life and things are difficult for you. It is most important that you maintain true to what you want in life, that you hold on to those ideas and those joys and beliefs and desires. Yes, sometimes we don't get certain things, and sometimes we don't get them because, you know, there are certain lessons that we have to learn, and one of them, as much as I dislike going through them, is learning to go through fire in order to release and let go of some of the stuff that hangs on to you. Another dear friend of mine who's been through me with me through thick and thin has told me, yes, good evening. How may I help you? You're welcome to the higher dimensions.
Hi, this is Leanne in Louisiana. How you doing?
Hi, Louisiana. How are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you?
Oh, I'm okay. What can I do for you this evening, my dear?
Well, I was listening to you. I'm very much into The Secret and studying manifestation.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a great topic. I actually had noticed on the site, on the little thing where it says show info, that you did past life readings.
Yes.
Is that possible to maybe get one of those?
Well, sure. Yes, I can. You want to know something about a former lifetime right now?
Sure.
Okay. And I just
don't
have your name again because I like to see your voice, huh?
I can't seem to be able to locate any past lives on my own.
You think you're a newbie, huh?
So I'm going to have to call you.
you got hatched in a cabbage patch and there you was?
Oh, goodness.
Okay, on your own. Well, let's see. Okay. I will say this. You have had some really interesting lifetimes that were a challenge, okay?
Right.
And my feeling is that on a couple of occasions, you were a rip-snorter.
I was what?
What I call a rip, or my mother used would call a rip-snorter.
What is that? I'm not
that's
from
a
the
Midwestern,
South.
That's a Midwestern term. for someone who was a son of a gun.
Okay.
A rip snorter. It's such a lovely expression from the set. My mother was from Missouri. She was wonderful at that.
Uh-huh.
Would do things and just scandalize people.
Oh, God.
Okay. And you have had some really interesting lifetimes. In fact, you have had some lifetimes in which you were very adventuresome. I would almost say that you were almost of the explorer type. My feeling is, and I'm getting a mountain man image.
Okay.
Okay. Somebody who would not take things lying down. Somebody who would carve out for themselves what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were extremely independent
mm-hmm.
in some of your lives. And you wouldn't take guff from anybody.
Take what?
Take guff.
Guff. Okay, you got some different expressions in me.
Take guff. Oh, God.
I don't do that today. I'm very independent today.
Because I'm reaching into your past life where you exemplified some of this.
Right. I'm very independent.
You're very intensive?
I'm very independent.
Yes.
And I think for myself. I go in and think for myself. Go inward.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't go anywhere. I mean, people can guide you, but by God, they better not grab you by the hand and try to lead you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You will get that. You don't mind them pointing out that here's a map. Go find your way.
Right.
Okay. And you will experiment on your own.
Right.
And you are very, very proud of your independence. And this is what I'm talking about. You are what we would call an individualist.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been a gold miner. One of those who would go tramping back in the hills. And you'd be very happy with the exploration and finding stuff. And you were a gold miner at one time.
Wow.
And so, you know, holding information in, not sharing with other people at times,
mm-hmm.
not trusting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Today I'm pretty trusting today.
Mm-hmm. But if you have something of great importance, you're not about to put it into somebody else's hands.
No, I want to handle it.
Yeah, that's what I mean by trusting. Okay? You won't allow other people to take over direction of your life.
That's because I don't think they're as aware as I am.
That's right.
I don't think they're as smart intuitively as I am.
Right. That's one of the things.
Okay.
And you are very intelligent.
I'm more guided than they are, most people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That's
and,
the way
and
I feel,
as I said,
so I'm not going to let them.
Independence shows up in everything that you do. Okay?
Right. I'm not going to let their ignorance.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't tolerate fools easily.
Right. No,
okay.
I don't.
Okay. I also know that you were also one who was very educated.
Right.
In another lifetime as well.
I'm educated today, too.
Yes. And for
self-educated.
For you, education is exceedingly important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You cannot conceive of somebody willingly being ignorant.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm self-educated, not system-educated.
And that's true, too, because you know you have what's necessary to get the information. You know where to go. It's for you, it's instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get information, you know how to find it, what you want to know on your own.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
This is all a part of your past history. Okay?
I'm bringing it into my now.
I'm sorry?
Am I bringing that into my now today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, why would you not want to?
Well, I would never want to give that up.
Absolutely not. And wherewithal, you also have good moral standards.
Right.
Okay?
That's true. That's why when you told me I was scandalizing people.
Well, scandalizing people is different than, it's not scandalizing people like in bad morals. I mean it's by being an independent character.
Okay.
Independent person. Does that make sense?
Yes. When you first said that, I thought maybe I was raping people and doing horrible things.
No.
That's why I'm getting some stuff back at me today.
No. See. But I was picking up the words that I would use to describe the character you were.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. You were very much and still adhere to being setting your own standards, which are high, by the way.
Right.
And you expect others to adhere to high standards as well.
Right.
Okay. And somebody who, you love people, okay?
I do.
But you don't have to have them around you all the
time. Thank you. Oh, you're so, God, you are brilliant. I don't need anybody else.
Right. But in this lifetime, part of the fact that you don't need somebody else is a part of what you developed by going off on your own,
mm-hmm.
okay, and digging in them bar hills and all of that. That was a part of your past,
okay?
This lifetime, you are to work on having relationships with people and becoming more people-oriented,
uh-huh.
more socialized, shall we say,
uh-huh.
and that's okay.
Okay.
All right. That doesn't mean you give up independence. There is a balance there for you.
Right.
Okay. So that you can have the best of both worlds, if I get my words out right.
Okay.
And so that's something that is to be kept in mind, that you can indeed enjoy other people without giving up or having to give away any of your personal power.
Hmm.
Okay?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's a lesson or a thing to play with.
Yes. Yes. You are here to develop yourself more so than anything else. And my feeling is the reason why you are developing this in this lifetime
mm-hmm.
is for your next time to be a true leader of men. And I use that not in the sexist sense.
Okay.
But mankind. You are going to develop that and utilize that as one of your talents in a future lifetime.
A leader of men.
Yes.
Not women.
I said don't take that as a sexist. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
men or and women.
Yes. A leader of, I should not say men, a leader.
Of people.
Of people, in essence, yeah. But I call it a leader of men. That's,
a true
leader. It makes
leader.
It so much
okay.
easier for me when I don't Can't, have to be politically correct.
Can I be a true leader of people in this lifetime?
Yes, you are working towards that.
I am.
Yeah.
Right.
You are working towards that. But the skills that you are honing now
mm-hmm.
will be indeed used even more
okay.
in the next lifetime. Because it's what we call, it's your graduation from one level to another.
Sure. Okay.
Okay? And I would see you on the world stage in the next lifetime.
Wow. I kind of thought that I would be there in this lifetime.
It's possible.
So,
but
well,
I
had another
more
lady.
So from birth in the next lifetime.
Say it again, hon?
I think it is more so from a place of being born into a different family that will provide that step up easily so you don't have to begin at the ground level.
Right. Yeah, because
in
wasn't...
other words, you'll be born into a family with political and money and power so that you don't have, that it's sort of there and you don't have to build the framework for it.
Sure. Well, I've had to build it, the framework for it on my own here.
Right. And next time, you will not.
And my this is very interesting. You've told me that I'm here to be more social.
Yes.
And that I can balance. My parents are not social at all.
Right.
And I was adopted by them, and I'm very social.
Right.
And so my whole, as a child, it was very frustrating.
Right.
I was like, why don't y'all socialize? Let's go to some parties. Let's,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's have, like, you know, it's, let's have people over for, you know, and they didn't do any of that. They were very
yeah.
great parents, still together, into themselves, but not into socializing, and it was very frustrating.
Yeah, you know, now I understand, now that you explain that, I understand a little bit more while I was thinking of my mother.
Uh-huh.
And using some of her words, because the kind of family you're talking about, my mother was adopted as well,
mm-hmm.
and her parents weren't social,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and my mother wasn't even allowed to have friends in the house. They could
right.
come up on the front porch, but they weren't allowed to come in.
Right.
Uh-huh. Just because.
My mom, it was a big deal to have somebody spend the night.
Oh, my mother, poor darling, was never allowed to have somebody spend the night, nor was she allowed
right.
to spend the night with anyone. Okay? And not until she was grown up and had a roommate.
Uh-huh.
way working. So, you know, that's why I guess I was picking up a little bit about my mother, because of your background is somewhat similar.
Right.
So
wow.
now that's... See, I don't understand these things sometimes when they come to me.
Wow.
Okay, now, how far back do you want to go? You want to go back to another one?
Sure. This is so exciting.
Okay.
I love this stuff. I could do this all day.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to let some other people come in. All they have to do is call and
when
I get a beat.
When somebody barges on in, we'll let them in.
Okay.
And I'll bow down. How's that?
Oh, it's beautiful. Let's see. What the other thing was I was going to say is, now, I see you going, you've had a couple of lifetimes here in this country, and you have really enjoyed it, all right? I also see you in Europe, in the medieval ages.
Is that the like the European, the pyramids?
No, that's medieval ages.
What is
no,
pyramid?
Not the pyramids. That's even further back. I see you more around the 1100, 1200. Okay, 1100, 1200.
I was kind of hoping I was Cleopatra.
you don't want to go with the asp, darling.
Okay. Okay.
No, there are too many. There are too many Cleopatras as it is.
Right. I know.
No, you were not. Though you were in those climes, that was not a good life for you. I will say that the Egyptian life was not good. It was not a very long one. Mm-hmm. And you were in the palace, but it was not one of your more spectacular lifetimes.
Okay.
It was one that had a lot of intrigue in it, and that's kind of what turned you off for a long time to be around other people.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
From being
because
social?
Because there you had no privacy at all.
No privacy in the palace?
Uh-uh. No.
Mm-mm-mm. Dang.
And a lot of intrigue, political intrigue, and a lot of power struggle. And you were one of those who was on the losing side in one of the power struggles. Okay.
Right.
So that's another reason why you stayed by yourself, because you figured if you weren't around so many people, also you had to conform in those days as well.
Yeah, I don't like
it
that.
It was extremely, extremely stultifying for you to have to conform to other people's demands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is another reason why you went to the other side and became very much your own person for a number of lifetimes. But at any rate, in medieval times, I see that you had an education, and at one point you were an astrologer and physician.
I can see that.
Okay.
And you mean a real physician, a healer?
A healer, but in those days, astrologers and physicians were the same activity, you see.
Right. I mean, physicians today are definitely not healers.
Well, some are really good, but some aren't. You got to admit. You have a little of both. God bless them all. Yeah, you were. You were one of those who worked with healing, okay?
Okay.
And that was another reason why you got around and traveling, because in those days, physicians did travel. They didn't stay in one place.
They went to the home of the person.
Well, they went from town to town.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many physicians.
Mm-hmm.
So you did travel, a traveling mendicant, so to speak, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, you come legitimately for your love of moving around and being social at times as well. So you have quite a bit of a background there, my dear, in a number of roles, male and female. And I see one in which you did indeed, again, were of a cloistered order.
Cloistered order?
Cloistered. That means behind, walls, gates, whatever.
Cloistered order.
You know, you forswore life and, you know,
I did
poverty,
what?
Sassy, and the whole nine things. Whole nine yards, okay? And that has a tendency to trip people up in the here and now, you know. Many people who've taken those vows in former lifetimes with whatever religion, whether it was with Buddhism or any other religion that gave away and took vows of poverty, so to speak.
Oh, I took a vow of poverty?
Oh, yeah. One needs to release that.
Whoa.
Okay. Because when those vows are given, you don't really consider you have future lifetimes. And those vows that you made were made with the belief of that time and the fervor of that time,
mm-hmm.
and can impact on you in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So one should look into releasing any prior vows of poverty or, of chastity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to come out in this lifetime or future lifetimes and not keep wondering why the Sam Hill you can't make any money or you just don't seem to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other lifetimes, you were, I do see you as someone who worked in trade.
Uh-huh.
Like a merchant.
A merchant of vegetables
goods.
Or
just
fruit?
General goods.
Goods. Fruits,
yeah.
Vegetables?
I'm seeing you more like in a store rather than a farm goods. I see you more in a merchant store, a mercantile store.
Because somebody told me I had a past life with a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And we used to sell fruit next to each other.
Well, that's very possible, too. I just haven't seen that one.
Okay, you haven't seen that one. Okay.
And selling fruit is not having a store, exactly.
Well, you know, like we were next.
It could, but I don't prefer that. What I was seeing was dry goods.
Dry goods, okay.
I was seeing dry goods, like bolts of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing.
Well, any past lives of people that are in my present life?
Your parents were one of those. The parents who adopted you were indeed in your past life. And part of the issue of having you in this lifetime was indeed to assist you, because they had some things they had to make up for, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so their choosing you was based on knowing you from another lifetime.
Okay.
Okay? There are a few friends around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I still keep seeing independence around you. That's
sure.
Something that is extremely important to you.
Well, it is.
Mm-hmm. And
it's something that kind of scares me
what?
A little bit. It gives me fear.
Independence?
Yeah. I'm afraid of really speaking out on what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because the powers in control certainly aren't going to like it.
Well, again, you're getting some practice, okay? And part of what you are learning this lifetime is how you can speak out,
mm-hmm.
acknowledge your truth.
Without
live,
getting chastised for it.
And live for and still be alive.
Yeah, and still be free.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you won't be imprisoned for what you have to say in this lifetime.
I won't?
No.
Okay, because that's...
Not
I mean, if I tell the truth...
And then we have a whole different issue.
If
but I
tell
don't
the
think
truth,
you're
yeah.
that.
Huh?
I don't think you're trying to overthrow the government, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, maybe a little.
But in the nicest way possible.
In a very polite way.
In the nicest way possible.
Right.
I understand you
I would very much like to see Ron Paul win.
Well, honey, you know, more power to him and you. I think
mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. I think it's great that everybody can run for president, and I think that's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud our system that we are allowed to do so.
Right.
Okay.
That's true. So you said some friends. Anybody in particular?
I keep saying, is there a gentleman friend around you?
I've got a couple of them.
Okay.
They're all friends.
Yeah, there's nobody special.
No.
Mm.
I've had relationships that have just absolutely broken my heart. And nothing's worked out with the right guy.
Yeah, and that's part of your growing process in this time, too. Remember, everybody who comes into your lifetime, whether they provide you with good experiences or crappy experiences,
mm-hmm.
are all there because of an agreement the two of you that you've made between you.
I know that, but I hate it.
Doesn't help in the clinches, does it?
The son of a bitch.
thank you for being so good to me.
Right. So I mean, and I know that deep down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, my suggestion is allow yourself to have people to come into your life that you would like to have come into your life on a permanent basis and just relax about it.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we get overly concerned and understand that when the time is ripe,
uh-huh.
it will occur. And I know I keep saying, look, I'm getting gray with age waiting, folks.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to meet him on my deathbed, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, you know, I'd like to be able to enjoy something.
Right.
Anyway, I would say concentrate on what you are doing for yourself, the learning, the reaching, the stretching, and you are going out, you are socializing, you are gaining a lot of ground knowledge. And you will be meeting somebody who has very similar interests to you, my dear.
I think so.
My feeling is you will be meeting somebody through the work you're doing.
Hmm.
And you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're having fun at it, aren't you?
Sure. I would like to do something bigger, a little bit more, on a bigger scale.
Know that you are building a foundation, and it's better to have a very, very good, solid foundation than to have a weak one. Okay?
Right.
And just take, as I know you will, advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you.
Repeat that?
And most of all, have fun, play and have fun with them.
With who?
With the opportunities.
Oh, with the opportunities,
yeah,
yes.
Play and have fun with the opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And don't be fearful.
No, no.
Because I do
have
fear. Fear pops up for me.
That fear of loss of life. Remember I talked to you about that palace intrigue?
Uh-huh.
You lost your life because of political.
I can see that.
Okay, and mm-hmm. So that is a fear that now it's time to release. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the book Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die by Carol Truman, K-A-R-O-L?
Feeling Buried Alive.
Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die.
By?
Carol Truman.
Carol
with a K-A-R-O-L.
Okay.
T-R-U-M-N. Excellent book.
Okay.
Wonderful way to release fears and phobias on your own. Okay. The other recommendation would be to seek a hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And go through past life regression
mm-hmm.
to bring about the release of those the emotional attachment to those deep-seated fears, because that's what harms us. It goes from life to life with us are the fears, the emotional scars, I would call them,
mm-hmm.
From another lifetime where you lost your life or suffered for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason,
mm-hmm.
and the emotional memory is which comes with you and plagues you in a new life. So,
do you know of any of a hypnotherapist that would do that over the phone? Because I don't really see too many around here.
Well, I do that.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, we got to get together.
Well, certainly you can certainly do that.
You're going to hypnotize me over the phone?
Huh?
With an appointment.
Yeah, I've done that.
You want to do it now?
No. Absolutely not. No. No. That's part of what I do is my business. Number one.
No, I'm teasing.
Number two,
I was teasing with you.
I wouldn't do that on the phone with a client.
Okay.
On the air.
Right.
Okay.
I don't have anything to hide.
Personal.
I actually don't have anything to hide. I would be fine with it, but
you have no idea what your past life would include, my love, and you may not want to have the world share this wonderful exposure.
I was teasing, of course, but
of course.
But I would have taken it.
You're quite welcome.
And I think that the guests online would have loved to hear it.
Pardon?
I bet everybody listening would have loved to hear it, too.
I'm sure they would, too. But I consider that part of a healing process. And
right.
Would, because sometimes, I will tell you, sometimes what comes out is so, can be very soul-shattering, okay?
So I know.
It would be counterproductive.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I've had people turn up in hypnotherapy who were, you know, people who were a part of Genghis Khan's tour de force and
uh-huh.
described slaughtering people.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of things that can come up The need for healing is extremely profound in those instances.
Hmm.
Extremely profound.
Wow.
Okay? So you never know, and that's why. But certainly if you want to call me, my phone number is online, and you can reach me, and I'll be more than happy to work with you, okay?
That'd be great.
Well, I'm going to say thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And if anybody else wants to call in, be glad to talk to him, and I hope you'll continue listening to me.
I definitely will, and I appreciate your time.
God bless you, my dear.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a delightful conversation. I have so much fun when I talk to people on the line. But continuing on, you know, there is a lot that needs to be said about releasing past feelings and desires, because, as I said, emotionally speaking, we can get tied up from one life to another making oaths that we have made, swearing vengeance or things like that. And it brings with it its own illnesses as well. And this is extremely frustrating because people don't understand how terrible the consequences are of some of these promises that we made. As I mentioned, for example, being in a lifetime where you might have been in a order. Yes, good evening. Welcome to Higher Dimensions.
Hello, my name is Sandra. How are you today?
Fine. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, love.
Sandra.
Sandra, hi. Where are you
hi.
From?
I'm from Maine.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
Top to bottom here.
So much snow, it's unbelievable.
How can I help you this evening?
Yes. Well, I was calling in to find out about some of my past lives. And
okay.
I was very interested. Particularly heard some feedback on Egypt and ISIS and that I was a high priest in ISIS. And so whatever you can tell me, I guess.
Okay. You want a specifically life, or you just want me to just go rummage around in the attic of the mind?
Yeah. However, that's going to tie into this current lifetime and what's going on with me.
Well, they all do to a certain extent, some more than others, in developing certain qualities of spirit, as you know. And let me think about this for a moment. Okay. Interesting. What I'm feeling is, you know, there's a very, very almost delicacy about you. I don't know if you find that in your physical body at this time, but it's a little bit of a, it's as though you had a lifetime where you really were not quite all in the body. And I almost said you weren't quite all there, and that has a meaning of mental problems, and that's not what I mean.
Okay.
Okay? There was a lifetime where it was very, very tentative, and you were very fragile.
Okay.
And that was a lifetime that I am feeling that you were, in a sense, in a delicate health. And it was as though you didn't really fully participate in life during that period of time. And it wasn't, and it's odd because it wasn't a punishment or it was a choice of to find out what it was like to be on this earth plane, but without really having the fullness and zest of life. I don't know how to explain it any other way.
Oh.
Does that make sense to you? Because that's certainly not the way you are now.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Pardon?
I said that's good.
Yeah. No, it's as though you wanted to taste what it was like to have a body, but one that was not didn't demand a whole lot of activity and a whole lot of work, I guess is another word. That was a kind of almost a resting lifetime for you. And we do go through lifetimes, you understand, where some of them are what we would call mundane.
Yeah.
We don't seem to have achieved a whole lot. We sort of just move through life living, you know, being born, living, dying, you know, having friends, but there's no great passion, no great, you know, wonderful, expansive, la-da-da lives, you know. Mostly, we have, those are called, the resting lifetimes are those where we don't really have to put forth a whole lot of effort. We just live and enjoy our life and don't have to be called upon to do a lot.
Okay. I was just experiencing.
Yeah, you just experience life without any of the great emotional passion and you know, trauma that is often associated with more sadistic lifetimes. And that one left a good impression on you in that you found it was okay to come to this earth plane and not have to really, really throw yourself into it and exhaust yourself and wear your body out.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that has remained with you because you have a delicacy of spirit, is what I see at this point. you want to go back to another lifetime. Well, I'm not being drawn to Egypt. I'm being drawn to Greece.
You're being drawn to Greece. Okay.
Pardon?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll work too.
Yeah. However, whatever you see.
Yeah. My feeling is you were in Greece during an exciting time, which may be why you chose that another lifetime where you didn't have such quite an exciting time. You were on this earth plane when Alexander the Great was tromping through.
Okay.
And there was a lot of political intrigue. My feeling is, and I see you as a young man in that lifetime.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You also, I'm also seeing that you were a student. You studied during that lifetime as well. You were in the city, not in the country. And my feeling is that lifetime was exciting, but it also took a lot out of you because you were expected to be a part of those who traveled with Alexander to New Worlds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not exactly something that you really wanted to do. You would have rather stayed at home. But your position was such that you had to, it was expected of you to accompany and be a part of the troops, okay?
Okay.
My feeling is you didn't last much longer than the mid to late 20s.
Mm. A lot of us didn't back then, I think.
Yeah. Well, given the health, but did you know 30s was a good age in those days? I don't see that you lasted too terribly much longer than that. And part of that was the harsh life, and part of it, I think, was an illness that you contracted.
Mm.
Okay, and I see you with a fever, and that was part of the issue because you were not really into all the slaughter that went on. that was not your style, okay?
Yeah.
So you were an interesting person in those days, but not a very very. You were one of the young men around one of the well-born young men that were part of the inside circle with Alexander. Okay.
Interesting.
I see you going back into an earlier time, even where I see you as a what we would call a wise woman or a healer.
Yes, because that's what I'm told I am now today.
I mean, we're talking about before they had when women were considered the. Women who knew herbs and things
yes.
were considered very, very, were held in very high esteem, let me put it that way.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You
were one of those who helped, it wasn't even quite a tribe, but your group of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you were worked much with herbs.
That's very interesting.
I'm sorry?
That's very interesting because I am Mi'kmaq Indian now. And
oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And very, very intuitive and
mm-hmm.
and pretty much awakening to a lot of my spiritual gifts now. But I had am doing some energy work with a lady at this point, and she told me that in my heritage I had, I think on my mother's side, I'm not sure, a spiritual healer, someone who worked with herbs and stones and such.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe you're picking up on that or maybe she could have been misinterpreting it and it could have been me.
Well, I am going to say I see you doing the work, and it wouldn't be contradictory from what you told you because even then, there were those who were healers and helping from the other side.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I see very much that you are a part of that and very much respecting a nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that would be a part of your own innate heritage, which is why you chose the lifetime you have this time around. Okay? And yes, there are those around you who are helping you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they always do.
Yes.
They're the Native Americans, and the fact that you were into that healing art. But this was over, not in the United States, but this was in another setting. And it was so far back, I can't even see exactly where it was. I just have a feeling that it was not America. My feeling it was more along the lines of, what's that area? The Caucasus area? The Baltic area?
Okay.
In that area.
Okay.
Near Asia. I don't see you Asian exactly. It was almost the dawn of history for humans.
Wow.
It was that long ago.
I've been here a long time.
You've been here a long time. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Yes.
And as I said, that is one of your innate capabilities. Is that of being one who can bring healing not just through herbs, but also through touch and through words. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. That is what I feel, that you can talk to people and help with them to heal from wounds. You combine spiritual healing along with your physical healing. You see a great integrated whole with the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Because you understand innately that it is the wounding in the spirit that is the cause of illness and disease.
Yes.
And trying to take care of one without taking care of the other is useless.
It just won't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yes. There's nothing in Egypt because I feel extremely connected to the Egyptian culture and magic. And, you know, so I didn't know if you saw anything in that aspect of what I'm
Egyptian,
saying.
The Egyptian that you dealt with was not back as far as the beginning of history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have been more recently, and while you were there in what I would call more recent history, if you're considering ten thousands of years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I see that what you did in working with Egypt was more what it had evolved to after the very beginnings when the culture flourished. And I'm trying to see this, and it's not coming through real. I can see it, but I can't explain it. Does that make sense to you? I'm groping for words at this point.
Okay.
When you chose to go there, it was not during that period of time, what I would call the beginning of time, when it was new and initiated, because healing came from those people who came from over the seas in Egyptian lore, okay, with the Temple Beautiful during the period when Ra was there and Edgar Cayce was there, okay? You came centuries after that, so that the power of the healing had diminished somewhat through ritualism and was not as fresh and as innovative as it was in the beginning. Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. because over a period of time, things tend to go downhill. It becomes ritualized. It becomes and it becomes form rather than substance.
Okay.
And that is my feeling, that you were involved in healing, but it was not as wonderful as when you first went into it and you were indeed out in nature itself and bringing in the healing arts by way of using your intuition.
Yeah.
And by way of using your knowledge that you gained. And I think that lifetime in the Isis temple was less than it could have been had you been born in an earlier time.
Okay.
That's my impression.
Okay? I have
not to say it wasn't an important time.
Right.
But I have seen you grow and much more importantly in another lifetime in that arena. And this one, have fun with this one, darling. It's great to be an Native American, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm really just starting to embrace my culture now because I grew up in a very hard environment, shall I say. My dad was an alcoholic, and I really was ashamed of my culture and what it stood for because of his drinking and how I saw it. So, you know, I've done a lot of interior work now, inside work, and, you know, and my father has passed away, and, you know, I've done a lot of forgiving and probably still have a little bit more to go, but I'm working on it. And
well,
so
honey,
really
we go through life creating ourselves anew each and every day.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing. You're unfolding like a flower. Now, I'm going to mention this, too. Do you get to go into the forest at all where you are?
I'm in a wood area.
I want you, when you can, just to go by yourself for a walk in the woods. And I want you, before you go in, to set up in your mind that you will allow Spirit, God, whomever, to guide you in your walk and to show you natural herbs and medicines and things. And just go along and take a little basket. And I would like you to take these things. When you feel guided to pluck something, okay, please do not do poison ivy or poison sumac.
No.
Okay?
No.
Listen carefully. Do not bring back those gifts.
No.
But look at things and then get yourself a good herbal book or a local teacher and go through and see what these things are used for in healing.
Okay.
Because I think as you go through this, you're suddenly going to find that you are drawn to certain plants. And you're going to know and feel that you know that this is right and this is not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can go back to that empirical, intuitive beginning because it's a part of your history.
Hmm. Okay.
To be able to choose herbs that will help heal, to make little teas and things like that.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, it'd be better than for me to grow it because I do not have a green thumb. I cannot grow anything. It's weird.
Notice I said go in nature.
That's too funny.
Uh-huh.
That is
what I'm getting very strong. And that would be very, very, very helpful for you, dear. And it would bring you back to nature. It also would allow the nature sprites to get to talk to you, the elves, and yes, do I believe them? You bet, I've seen them. I have seen fairies, okay, and
fairies.
Elves, and we want you to get back in touch with the nature fairies so that you can help, because everyone is going to be helping nowadays. Everybody wants to help you, okay? They really do, and if you can take some courses in that, as well as to add to your knowledge, I would like you to do so because I think that that is a place where you will shine and where you will feel a great deal of joy and pride in what you're doing.
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay?
It really does. I have one last question.
Yes, ma'am.
who do you see around me that's really helping me nudge me?
I'm sorry, I can almost not hear you. I don't know why that is.
Okay, who do you see around me in the spirit world that's helping me to probably get to that next dimension in my meditation?
Well, honey, you have a bunch of people around you.
Do
okay?
I?
You have a, sometimes you have a crowd around you. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I feel the energies constantly. So.
Yeah, well, you have at times a crowd around you, you know, and you're not alone. I see, people keep coming and going. I wish they would stop jostling in the way. Hold on. Quit shoving people. All right. I do see, is it a great-grandmother?
All my grandparents have passed.
Pardon?
All my grandparents have passed.
Okay. I am seeing a great-grandparent. Not just a grandparent, a great-grandparent.
Okay.
I am seeing a number of people around you, not only Native American, but other than Native American. I see someone who is wearing a long cloak-like, sort of like a monk's outfit, okay? A long sleeve cloak and it wearing a hood. It has a hood on it, okay? I see some people who are definitely into helping you move ahead, and I see what I would call a cousin there as well. I don't know if that makes sense.
A cousin.
A cousin.
Okay.
I don't know if you have a cousin who's passed over or not, but if I were to give a relative, I would say it's a cousin.
Okay.
And
when will I make that connection? Because when will I make that connection in my meditation?
You can do it tonight if you want to. Go to sleep tonight and put in your mind you want to have a conversation with them,
okay,
and ask them to communicate with you, please.
Okay.
And understand, you know, their time and our time are a little bit different, but as you are ready, you know it's going to work for you, and I don't think you have to worry. All you have to do is expand your awareness more, and you will be aware of them around you. Okay? They all are there to help you. That's their job.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too, my love. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Oh, I love it. At any rate, thank you so much for listening to The Higher Dimensions. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and I am so looking forward to talking to you next week. I believe that I have... I don't know who I have next week. It's happens to be Valentine's Day. I may be here by myself with you. But the 21st, I'm going to have Anna Maria Hemingway, and she has written a wonderful book about practicing consciousness, living and dying. And then I will have Judith Stockman, and she is the widow of Warren Oates, who was a character actor, and she has a wonderful book. The following week we'll have Christina, who's a psychotherapist. We're going to have C.D. Montana on the 6th, and she wrote, and this is fascinating, a wonderful book on Another Time, Another Place. But at any rate, we'll see you here next week, same time, same station.